This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a podcast of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, Australia's only LGBTI program focused on the horror and sci-fi community.
Warning, warning, this is an official warning. The health service recommends you turn off your radio now. This program is not good for you. It will fry your brain. It will cause lasting insanity.
Oh God.
Bleeding from all orifices.
Shut it down!
You have been warned.
Shut that damn radio off!
I'm gonna count backwards from 10.
10.
9. 8. 7. 6. 5. 4. 3. 2.
1. It's too late.
Like, that sounds like razor blades in my eyes.
We warned you.
Ugh.
Oh God.
It's like an old man blowing his nose into my ear. We warned you. Oh God, it's too late.
No.
Oh God, someone poke my eardrums out now. I can't handle it any longer.
Kia ora, this is Taika Waititi, and you are listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94... Is there a dot in there?
Yeah, just point.
94.9. FM, not AM.
What's your handle, Jill?
Holly.
Holly.
Yeah, that's your first name. Are you Richard Simpson?
No. What's yours, then?
Romeo.
Shut up, it's not funny.
Who's that? Juliet.
No, that's my brother. Little boy, he's a gay.
What?
Hey, bro, you're one of them gays, eh?
Probably.
He's a gay, he likes boys. Hey, bro, who's your favourite boy? Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp's a gay too.
But you don't know any gays.
Yes, my auntie's a gay.
Yeah, what is it?
Yes, she's got a girlfriend.
But you don't know any boy gays like
him. No.
You see, I do, and Jane has. He's gonna be a rich man when he grows up.
Hey, bro, you're gonna be a lawyer, eh?
Yeah.
You got a lot of big gay when you're a lawyer, eh? Hey.
Lily. I brought you here today to ask you a very special question. What is it? Well, I've never felt this way about anyone before. Same, but it feels really natural. Yeah, same. I feel that too. Now, Lily, will you be my girlfriend? Yes. Yes, I will. Awesome. You have made me the happiest man in the whole restaurant. love you. I love you too.
Hey, fool! Sucker. Foolish. Foolish sucker.
Tonight we are going out into Wellington Central. It is important that we look good.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, like
one of the unfortunate things about not having a reflection is that you don't know exactly what you look like.
Ooh, look, a ghost cap floating all by itself.
We can give each other feedback and help each other out until we're looking great.
Yeah, some of our clothes are from victims. You might bite someone and then you see, ooh, those are some nice pants.
Welcome to Sci-Fi and Squeam, and thanks to the lads, of course, for the Sound Museum here on Joy 94.9. Yes, Tenakwe, Tenakoto, 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 Tenakoto Katoa, Nomai Harimai, Kia ora. We're welcoming you to the world of Taika, Taika Waititi. This is our special episode tonight, a special show about the man, the mystery, and the artist, performer, writer, director, producer of great classic films. Well, they're already modern classics, I feel. Things like What We Do in the Shadows, Eagle versus Shark, and of course the new one, The Hunt for the Wilder People, which is due out very soon, 26th of May here in Australia. Now, I have in the studio with me to help me on this splendid journey down under here on Sci-Fi and Squeam, Dimitri Kakmi. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Sonia. Nice to be here again.
Yeah.
It's been ages.
It's been a while.
Mm.
Like, I think...
What was I here last time? 2 years.
We had great plans, though, didn't we? We had great plans to do great things.
And none of them really came to fruition.
Well, it was your fault, wasn't it?
Well, I was sick, wasn't I? But I'm here tonight because you want me to provide fanboy commentary because I'm Taika's biggest fan.
Yeah, the biggest fan he doesn't know about.
I know. I virtually pee my pants when I see his face.
Really? Oh,
I do. I get so excited. Almost incoherent, in fact.
Well, please don't do it in the studio.
Oh, damn.
You do. Yeah, so look, it's great to finally have a whole hour we're going to spend talking about. Well, almost a whole hour. As it works out, you know, you take away the traff and the commercials and things and the sponsorship, and you take away the music, and you're left with a little bit of Taika to take away with tonight. And your favourites, of course, is we'll talk about that.
We'll talk
shortly.
About it later, darling.
Later when it's darker. It's already pretty dark out there in Melbourne town. I was also very fortunate, and everyone knows this in the whole world, that I spoke to Taika for the second time, and he didn't remember me from the first time, so that was awesome.
What a surprise.
What a surprise. It was very unprofessional of me. I am a professional amateur.
Didn't you hug him?
I hugged him last time he was in the studio. Well, this was the first and last time he was in the studio. His publicist looked a little afraid, and he was quite surprised, but he went with it. Smart man, he just went along with it.
He won't be crossing the Tasman to see you again.
No, or the Tasman, for that matter. So, yes, look, it's a Kiwiana night tonight. You can hear the soundtrack that we have from things like What We Do in the Shadows. You'll be hearing some great classic Kiwi tunes. You heard Poye by the Patea Māori Club, which most people would know, of course, if they lived in Patea. And if you don't, well, it was in the soundtrack for Boy. Now, have you seen Boy, by the way?
I am ashamed to say I've only ever seen Taika in two films.
Ooh, really?
What We Do in the Shadows.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I'm probably the only person who has seen Green Lantern.
And was surprised
see him in there. That Taika was sitting there looking absolutely stunning in his designer sunglasses.
Not that you're biased.
And lovely little haircut, playing the white hero's best friend, ethnic yes. best friend.
Well, apparently the story goes they wanted an ethnic best friend for the Green Lantern, what's his name, he just finished or completed Boy, and they'd seen him in Boy playing himself pretty much, or playing his father figure, I suppose, as he does a lot in his films, and they said, oh yes, look, you'll do, you can play a Native American person because you're an Indigenous person from New Zealand, so why not? And this does happen a lot for Maori and Pacific Islanders from New Zealand. We often will be typecast as the go-to brown person. That's just what happens.
You know, something that he said in an interview, actually, while he was publicizing Green Lantern, was he said, producers approached me, he said, because they wanted someone who wasn't white and who wasn't black. So they came to me after seeing me in Boy. Yes. And so I thought, okay, so someone who's inoffensive in a way, someone who's ethnic and yet inoffensive, is that what you're saying? It was actually a really interesting statement. And when you see the film, he is obviously ethnic, but not offensive. You know, he's not black, let's say. So, you know, people would go, oh, he's a black character. It's a very interesting performance for that, in fact, yes.
Well, Temuera Morrison, of course, the other Maori actor. There's Cliff Curtis, there's Temuera Morrison. And they will often play, or they used to in the 80s and 90s, and it became quite an embarrassment, really. They would often play Latinas and people from Middle Eastern descent.
Right.
And so therefore villains, in other words, and criminals and pimps and drug dealers and terrorists. They always played those roles. I'm not kidding. And it would be like you're sitting there in the movie theatre seeing a George Clooney, Mark Wahlberg film, and suddenly, there's Cliff Curtis. Kia ora, what are you doing there? You know what I mean?
And he's a black dude, you know.
No, he's an Arab. He's playing a person of Arab descent who's a terrorist. And then in another film, I think it was that Johnny Depp film, Blow, he plays a Mesoamerican drug dealer. And I'm thinking to myself, do you ever play yourself? And this was the whole thing, was in the 80s and 90s, it was like Māori couldn't play Māori. They had to play other people from other ethnic groups to feel, like you said, to be acceptable. But that's changed, and it's thanks to people like Jermaine Clement and, of course, Taika, that has started to change.
Interestingly, Taika moved from acting to writing and directing because he said, you know, he couldn't really get performances or roles, I should say, because of, you know, his ethnicity. So he had to create work for himself. You know, he went from theatre into film, and now he's directing. And I mean, the Wilder People. Mm. He directed that, but he's not in it, is he?
He doesn't appear in it, I don't think. No, it's probably the few times he hasn't appeared.
He's the father in Boy, though.
Yes, he's the father. Very good in that. He's brilliant. Crazy Horses Club or something? He doesn't appear, I believe, in the new one, but he sort of is in it, you know, his stamp is there. I think it's because it's based on something that he didn't actually originally write. It's Barry Crump's work.
It's based on a novel.
Well, it's a children's sort of book from the 70s.
Oh, right.
Barry Crump was a very famous bloke, New Zealand bloke, who wrote books about his life.
It's based on a children's book, which explains the
his life of shooting animals and wearing swan dry. Yeah, it's quite brutal, but they make brutality into humour, if that makes sense. It's very New Zealand, in other words.
And that's who Sam Neill plays, right?
Yes, he plays Heck, and Heck is this gruff, very miserable New Zealand man. It's pretty normal, really.
So you've seen the film?
I have seen the film. But I knew the book, too.
Can you call me next time you go see Taika's movies, please?
Okay.
You know,
he's my best friend.
I feel like I'm being left out.
We don't want you to feel left out, darling. And we don't want you to feel left out. If you have a favourite Taika Waititi film that you like and you admire, or you want to chat, let us know. 0427JOY949. You can email us on air at joy.org.au, or you can contact us, queergeeksofoz, at queergeeksofoz. You're listening to The World of Taika Waititi here on Joy.
Why don't vampires have reflections? I have no idea.
You have to look tempting, kind of a trap for humans, but you are also the bait. But it's hard to tell what you look like.
I used to take a photo of what I was wearing, send it off to the developing company, and then they would process the film. And then when I got the photos back, I changed clothes, and so everything was always in retrospect.
You have to look like something they want, like a sandwich. And then they come up to you, but actually the sandwich is going to eat you. You are the sandwich.
Want to live long, they have no use for your song. You're dead, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead and out of this world. You'll never get a second chance. Plan all your moves in advance. Stay dead, stay dead, stay dead, stay dead and out of this world. Run fast, don't stand in the sun. There's too much work to be done. You're down, you're down, you're down. You're down and out of this world. Don't ever talk with your eyes. Sure that you compromise. You're dead, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead and out of this world. Hear the unloved weeping like rain. Guard your sleep from the sound of their pain. Long gone, long gone, long gone, long gone and out of this world. When you smile and it tears your face, it's time for the inhuman race. You're down, you're down, you're down, you're down and out of this world. Now your hope and compassion is gone. You've sold out your dream to the world. Stay dead, stay dead, stay dead. You're dead and out of this world.
Here we are, Sci-Fi and Squeam. We're doing the Taika Waititi, the world of Taika tonight, with myself, Sonia the Squeamer, and of course, our special guest, Dimitri Kakmi. Now, in the background, you heard a little bit of, her name was Norma Taniga, and You're Dead. Great song, lots of effort, lots of spirit there. You can get the gist of it. It was used in the soundtrack for the fabulous film What We Do in the Shadows. Of course, the breakthrough hit, I believe, for Taika, as far as a crossover in the genre that normally, you know, he hasn't done before as such in a feature film. And by the way, Norma Taniga, that artist in the 60s, she was a folk singer. She had a cat called Dog. I'm serious. She had a cat called Dog, and she did a song. She was also one of Dusty Springfield's lovers and wrote some of Dusty's songs.
Isn't that funny? Because I was listening to thinking that could be Dusty Springfield.
Dusty Springfield owes that woman. They were lovers and quiet about it for a while. And they spent about 10 or 12 years as lovers and collaborators. And she wrote a few of those Dusty songs. There you go, dusting off the past into the future. After all, it is Ida Hobbit Day. It's got nothing to do with hobbits.
I was going
to
say, what?
It took me years to figure out that Ida Hobbit had nothing to do with Mordor or, you know.
Or little men with huge feet.
Peter Jackson.
Little men with huge hairy feet.
Ugh,
yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, I just don't go there.
Now, What We Do in the Shadows. This amazing film came out a few years back. Should know this, actually.
Was that in 2015? 2015, wasn't it?
No, no, it's older than that. 2011, I think, was made. Came out in 2013. Boy was out in 2010. That's the one I was getting confused in. But you're a big fan of this film. What makes it so special?
Well, as you know, I'm a big fan of vampire movies.
You are a bit of a vampire.
Thank you. So I was really interested in this, mainly because of the mockumentary element. Mm. I think had it been just a vampire movie, I probably wouldn't have been as interested. But I love the idea of treating it like a TV show, a mockumentary.
Yes, yeah.
A camera crew goes into a household, it's full of vampires. So that immediately appealed to me. And then I saw the trailer and saw Taika Waititi for the first time. And my heart skipped a beat.
As they say
in the film. And I thought, I have got to go and see it. But you know, Sonia, the first time I saw the film, I actually didn't like it.
Oh.
I came out of it thinking, well, it was a bit adolescent and silly.
You sound a bit like Margaret and David.
Well, you know,
show, who
David,
bagged it.
David and I are like this.
Well, you know what happened after they bagged it so much?
Did they really bag it?
There was a real, let's just say...
Was there an outcry?
There was, online. It was pretty firm, and they shortly resigned. And I think it might have been because they gave it a very poor rating. They were totally... They're totally out of touch. I'm glad they're gone, I have to say. They were out of touch.
No, it's long. They were long overdue.
Yeah.
I would have to agree with you.
But anyway, back to the film.
Well, back to the film. So I'm glad I repressed my opinion in that case because the following week a friend emailed and said, I'm about to sit down and watch What We Do in the Shadows. Want to come over and watch it? And I rolled my eyes, but I hadn't seen her for a while, so I went back and saw it again. And just totally got into the mood this time. And I think what really works for me is Taika Waititi. I think he is really brilliant as Viago, who's an 18th century dandy vampire.
Yes, absolute fop.
And
really.
A complete fop. And from the minute he... Well, in fact, he's the first vampire we see because the mockumentary begins with Taika waking up in his coffin and going around the house and waking everyone else up. And the key moment for me is when he descends into the basement with the camera following him and to wake up Peter, who's 7,000 years old, and knocks on his coffin door and pushes back the stone. And Peter, who looks like Nosferatu, hisses at him. I just love that sequence.
I know. And doesn't he say, look, don't bite Stu. Stu's like this IT guy. And
yes.
He gets them online, doesn't
he? They bring him
Facebook.
In.
Yeah, they bring him in because he's, he's been bitten, basically, by,
Who bites him? I can't remember who turns him.
The werewolves. One of the werewolves, remember?
Yes, but doesn't he turn into a vampire?
I think he becomes a splice. He becomes a bit of both. It's very Twilight, isn't it?
Oh, that's right. Yes, that's right. I forgot about the werewolves, actually. Mm. You mentioned it. Yeah. But the great thing about the film is it follows... so it's a comedy, obviously. Mm. Even though apparently they were initially keen on making a horror movie. But I think the amazing thing about Taika Waititi is that I think he's an innate comic. When you see him in Boy... he plays the father in Boy, and he's brilliant. And he has these incredible features. You know, it's sort of he's half part Maori and part Jewish.
Russian Jew, yes.
Yeah, his mother is Jewish.
He's biracial.
As Jermaine says in an interview.
They make a joke about that, you see, because now it's biracial.
Is that what it is? I was thinking, what are they saying? And I thought, you know, that wonderfully expressive face simply lends itself to comedy. And he's a perfect mimic. You know, when you listen to Viago speak, he actually does a fabulous what's his name, Werner Herzog. German accent.
Yeah.
That's who he's
it's
copying.
It's very camp, though, isn't
it? It's very camp. So it follows the sort of the adventures of these vampires who bring a human into the household and eventually turn him. And you think you know where it's going, and then it takes a really interesting turn with Viago, where we realize he's fallen in love. and which again sort of mirrors the traditional vampire story. You know, the vampire is hundreds of years old but has a true love that he's waiting to resurrect. In this instance, there is no resurrection because, spoiler alert guys, she's an old woman and he's eternally young. And it's kind of heartbreaking.
She celebrated her 99th birthday, that
actress. In real life or?
Yeah, the actress.
Or in the film.
It's her first major role and she's pretty open to new roles, hopefully, in the future. If there is a sequel, because apparently there's going to be the Werewolves, Not Swearwolves, the film's sequel. And of course,
they're actually making a film out of it.
About the werewolves, not the swearwolves, but, you know.
I've got to say, I'm not so keen on werewolves.
But of course, there's going to be the talk of a television series that is going to happen, a TV spin-off. It says could be in the works. That was the end of last year, but I did see something on YouTube with Taika over the last couple of days saying that it is actually happening, it seems, and Jermaine Clement is involved. So whether he's going to be acting in it or producing or writing, in charge of it, maybe even directing, who knows? But it does look pretty exciting. I think it's exciting because I would love to see it as a constant TV show, you know. I'd love to see what they get up to. I would hope that it would be made in New Zealand, but probably not.
Okay, do you think it'll be still made as a mockumentary, you know, with a film crew following them around?
Yeah, it would be great.
It'd be interesting to see.
Now, there is a Belgian film that's very similar that came out in about 2011-12 called Vampires, Vampyres. Very similar. And check it out, people. I'll have a
comedy?
Yeah, it was a mockumentary. It's very similar. It's darker. Much darker. And it's basically it's mirroring what's happening as far as the situation of refugees in Europe. So much darker. Check it out, people. I'll put the link up there. And I'm not sure if Taika saw it. He may have been influenced by that because it blew me away. It was a great little Belgian film.
When did you say it came out?
About 2011.
Okay.
So what they said about what we do in the shadows, the Hollywood Reporter called it hilarious. Billboard said it was hilarious. IndieWire describes the film as hilarious. Film Comment says hilarious. And Vanity Fair
said hilarious.
No, they said brilliantly comedic.
What did David and Margaret say?
They're not here with us any longer. Wonder why that is. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam, our world, the world of Taika, here on Joy 94.9 with Dimitri Kakmi and a whole bunch of Romani musicians in the background. Hope you're enjoying that here on Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Kia ora, this is Taika Waititi, and you are listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94. Is there a dot in there?
Yes, just point.
94.9. Kia ora, this is Taika Waititi, stuntman, actor, director, lover, friend, confidant, shoulder to cry on. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Kia ora, my name is Boy, and welcome to my interesting world. My favourite person is Michael Jackson.
Wanna see some Michael Jackson dance moves?
My favourite subjects are art, social studies. I have a 6-year-old brother called Rocky. He's got powers.
Hey, Boy.
Hey, Boy.
Hey, Boy. Thank you, Boy.
I'm named after my dad. He's overseas doing some pretty important stuff.
I mean, you're a liar. Your dad's in jail for robbery.
Who are you?
Boy.
Alright. I'm your dad.
Dance all around the world. Dance with the birds and the music. We want knocking at the door, a little girl in a long white gown. Who came running to answer the door? A little man with a worried frown. Dance all around.
Dance all around the world with me.
Dance with the bars and the music. We want you to see the world.
I want you to see the world with me.
And see all the beauty that surrounds you. Who came knocking at the door? Little man with a worried frown. Who came running to answer the door? A dragon and a man dressed up as a clown. Dance all around the world.
All around the world with me.
Dance with the buzz and the music. We want you to see.
So they danced until they came to a beautiful castle on a lonely hill. There lived a prince with his two wise tutors and two guards. Come, dance around the world with us, said the man in brown. But no, cried the tutors, for a prince must learn of law and justice. But a prince should also know the sound of the wind in the trees and the song of the crickets, said the man in brown. He must stay, they said, and learn of government and diplomacy. But surely a tutor, a teacher should know the secrets of the moon and the feel of a mountain stream on his feet. Well, we must guard him, said the guards. Surely even a guard should know the feel of the wind on his face and the surge of life in his hands. And so the guards threw down their weapons, and the tutors put aside their books and gowns, and they threw open the castle gates and danced out into the fields.
Come dance around.
This is Sci-Fi and Squeam, a world of Taika Waititi here on Joy 94.9. Now, we do have a little bit of a change of pace. It's Otherworld Zine Fair. I spoke to an interview I'm going to play now with Hon Boy, and he's one of the organisers for something special happening this week in Sydney Town. That's right, at Marrickville. So let's have a listen to that. It's only a few minutes. Hang in there. They certainly do need your help, and it's going to be wonderful. It's this Saturday, the 21st in Sydney. This is Otherworlds with Hon Boy. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam. Squeam on Joy 94.9. And talking tonight to Otherworld Zine Fair's, one of their organisers. It's a zine fair that's on May the 21st, this week coming up, Saturday, May the 21st, in Sydney Town. And I'm talking to Hon. Hon Boy, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Sonia.
Yeah, cool. No worries. So you are one of the organisers of the Otherworld's Zine Fair?
I am, yes. It's about five or six of us.
Mm-hmm.
We try to put it together every year. Yeah.
Cool. So is it the second year now or 2000?
No, it's the third year.
Our third year.
Okay. Year was in 2014. Mm, so right. We're coming into our third one.
So what can you tell us about the Otherworld Zine Fair?
The Otherworld Zine Fair, well, started in 2014 as a reaction to the MCA, or the Museum of Contemporary Art Zine Fair. It kind of came about during the boycott of the Biennale, because of their links to Transfield, who were the service providers for the detention centres in Nauru and Manus Island. And so there were a bunch of us zinesters who kind of didn't feel comfortable taking part in the MCA zine fair and decided, rather than just boycott it, we thought we'd start our own one at the same day. And so that was how we started.
So, yeah, it's got that very strong political sense to it, and I guess that reflects in the work. Is that important to you, that work that's brought to the zine fair?
Absolutely. We don't want to kind of determine what type of zine coming to the fair, but I think zines inherently their history and the fact that they're produced through DIY means that they are inherently political. And even though they may not be explicitly political, they could just be, I don't know, a comic about what you had for dinner tonight. But the fact that it's made, it's self-publishing and it's made independently makes zines political, even though the content may not be viewed traditionally as political.
One of the people that I was due to interview, of course, is Safda Ahmed.
Great artist,
done some wonderful breakthrough, too, you know, with his winning of a Walkley for his piece. Is that the norm to have people of that calibre? Well, you know.
I wish.
That's probably the wrong thing to say.
No. I wish it was. I wish we could say, but Safda is an amazing artist and an amazing human being and an amazing activist. And what he does with his art and what he does outside of his art is kind of quite extraordinary. So no, it's not the norm. But having said that, you know, I think everyone that kind of decides that they want to put something on or has the courage to be creative and to put themselves in a public sphere like a zine fair, like that is amazing in itself. And whenever we organise this, I'm always amazed at how courageous artists can be when they kind of put themselves on paper and then are willing to show other people their soul on paper, you know. And I guess it is the norm in some ways, but Safda is quite an extraordinary person as well.
I'll just edit that. To the awareness of Safda through Michael Pifikaris and the Silent Army. So for Sydney, are there many zines fairs of this sort of size? Because it's relatively growing, I would say. It's getting bigger.
For a long time, the MCA Zine Fair was the biggest zine fair.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, because the MCA is a massive cultural institution, has received heaps of funding both from corporate, private and government donors. And so, yeah, and they were able to market. So they were definitely the biggest zine fair for many years. But other worlds, I think, are very close to overtaking them. You know, we've got nearly 100 tables. We've got about 150 store holders. You know, it's just grown so much. So,
okay, yeah. So can you give us the details again about Otherworld Zine Fair coming up Saturday the 21st?
That's it. So Otherworld Zine Fair is on Saturday the 21st at Marrickville Town Hall. Doors open at 11 for the public and it'll wrap up at 4. Come along. There are about, as I said, nearly 100 tables, over 150 store holders, with some really, really great artists and a whole bunch of artists which I'm unfamiliar with as well, which always leads to great surprises. So, yes, please come along if you're in town.
Cool, excellent. And you've got the Possible campaign as well, still going strong.
We do. Got the Possible campaign. If you just look up Otherworld Theme Fair on Possible, we're about $150 off our target, which isn't much. So we're just kind of inching closer and closer, and that'll help that. The money that we're raising for that goes to paying for all the table hire.
Yeah. Well, Hon Boy, thank you so much for speaking to us here on Sci-Fi and Squeam about the Otherworld Zine Fair.
No, thank you so much, Sonia, for having us. It's great, as I said, community radio and the work that you guys do is kind of so important to keeping arts in Australia. And
cool. Well, thank you for speaking to us there, Hon.
No, thank you, Sonia, for having us.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Kent, writer and director of The Babadook, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. Hang on, I'm going to do that again. Okay?
Okay, cool.
All right. Hi, I'm Jennifer Kent, writer and director of The Babadook, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Yes, indeed. Sci-Fi and Squeam here on Joy 94.9, and thanks to Hon Boy for talking to us about Otherworld Zine Fair. I promised him I would squeeze it in, and tonight it has been the world of Taika Waititi, but you can't have everything. But look, thanks, and if you do have a chance to head to that, please do so. I'll also put their Possible campaign up because I've got a few more days to go, and it helps to pay and cover the costs. Purely, they're not making money out of this, of course, but it covers the costs of table hire and all those other things for that space. Fabulous. All right, now, of course, very shortly we will play the interview that everyone's been, well, that's why Dimitri is here.
Yeah.
To listen to the interview. And we've
Hurry
had
up.
A message, too, from someone called Peter.
Peter.
Peter Smolinski.
But he doesn't speak. He just goes
silent in there. Yeah, no, thanks for doing that. My headphones
Thank
are
you.
On. That's gorgeous. Now, I did make a terrible blunder again. I said that Vampires, the movie, the little Belgian film that could, I said it was called Vampires, V-A-M-P-Y-R-S, but it's actually V-I-M-P-I-R-E-S, like normal. And it came out in 2010 and it's Belgium.
It's like the John Carpenter vampires.
It is the John Carpenter vampires. And actually,
hopefully it's better.
It's pretty damn good. And I actually remember now, you reminded me, I actually did interview the director and I'm going, that seems familiar, the name Vincent Leneux. Fabulous man, wonderful Walloon, Mr. Leneux, I should say. So check that out. I'll put the trailer up on Sci-Fi and Scream and we'll put some more things up there. I'm just loving it tonight. It's great to talk about vampires. It's always a relief, actually, to talk a little bit about vampires, isn't it?
I think it's fabulous.
And it's
there's
good
not
for your
enough
health.
Talk. I mean, in fact, you know, I think the current spate of vampire movies have really ruined the vampire for us. I know you pulled the face before when I mentioned
No, I was just smiling.
Willem Dafoe's Shadow of Vampire. I don't
you
know
don't
why.
Like it. But what about
no,
Kiss
I
of the
love
Damned?
It. No, I love
it. No, what about Kiss of the Damned?
Kiss of the Damned?
Mm.
What's that?
It's a vampire movie that
You're
came out in the last couple of years.
What?
By Zien Cassavetes, John Cassavetes' daughter.
Oh, that. You know, I missed
that.
It was on like for 10 seconds.
Yeah, 10 seconds.
By the time I got my act together, it was gone.
Pretty much. That's the state of horror films in Australia.
Well, exactly. I don't
they
even know
They get played
why
for a week
bother.
If you're lucky, and then they go. They
Have
go
you noticed week. That our favourite horror movie of recent times isn't getting a release here?
No.
Good night, Mummy.
No, it played perhaps one festival and then it went straight to VOD, DVD, Blu-ray. Sorry, people, but yeah.
Tragic, really.
Tragic. And, I mean, you can check out the interview with Severin Fiala and Veronica Franz on the Sci-Fi and Scream part of joy.org.au.
Just and if you haven't seen it, truly do see it.
It's brilliant,
it's
isn't it?
It's really brilliant.
It's
on Apple TV at
life.
The moment. No, don't say anything.
I
truly
won't say
don't
anything
say anything.
No.
But it
as
really takes you into areas where you do not expect. You think it, you know it's going, and then halfway through you think, goodness.
Goodness gracious me.
And I'm feeling very uncomfortable right now.
Very good. And it must be the look on my face.
It is. She's about to hit me.
I'm going to explode. No, blood's everywhere. No, all right. No, we've got a little bit of this. And then finally, the Taika Waititi.
Oh, about time. I mean, I came in just for that.
Did you?
No.
Oh, because you can't get reception at home.
I just want to see you, Sonia.
Thank you. And my reflection is doing very well.
She has no reflection, by the way.
Be quiet. Don't tell everyone.
There's a window behind her. I can see no reflection.
Well, it's a window. It's not a mirror.
Well, it's dark on the other side.
Okay, don't tell everyone. They want to know.
Ricky Baker.
He is a bad egg. His history of offences and re-offences is too long to list. We're talking graffitiing, littering, smashing stuff, burning stuff, breaking stuff, stealing stuff, throwing rocks, running away.
And that's just the stuff we know about.
One time, he walked really slowly across the pedestrian crossing and held up all the traffic.
Teenager, you're as good as gold. Ricky Baker, happy birthday. was a shark.
Yep.
I almost came as a shark, actually, but then I realised that an eagle's slightly better.
You want to leave a message for him?
Tell him that justice is waiting for him.
Okay, Justin. Thank you. Bye-bye.
No, justice. Justice.
Stew is great. We really like him.
At first, I wanted to kill him. But now, I'm glad I spent the time to get to know him.
Yeah, of course, he looks delicious with his big red cheeks. But we've all got an agreement that we're not going to eat Stew, right?
Right. The guys upstairs, they're loving him. At the start, they were a bit, oh, who's this human you bring into the house? But it took them literally 2 minutes, and they like him more than they like me, I reckon.
I am knitting a scarf for Stew.
Faulkner is Caucasian. Well, they got that wrong because you're obviously white.
Let out who did this. Tell them I was the water people.
The water people?
Hi, Taika.
Hi.
Hey, thank you very much for spending some time to talk to us here on Joy 94.9. Cool.
Is this an okay line?
That's pretty good. It's not too bad. A little bit fuzzy, but that's all right. I can sort that out.
It's just me.
All right. Yeah, so this is Sonia here on Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9, speaking to the amazing Taika Waititi, talking about Hunt for the Wilder People. The release is coming. It's May the 26th here in Australia, and June will, well, finally the Americans will get it on the 24th. So welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, cool. How's it going for Hunt for the Wilder People?
Yeah, I think by the end of today, we should have become the number one box office. We should be number one at the New Zealand box office for a New Zealand film. How do you say it? Whether it will be the highest grossing New Zealand film of all time.
Wow.
By the end of...
Okay.
And then, so that will be the number one film. And then the number two film is my other film, Boy.
So what's the third one?
I'm really happy for that.
What's the
third one?
Peter Jackson.
Yeah, what the third one is.
Yeah, I know.
Things that work in threes.
Yeah.
Only just one and two.
One and two. Your ones and your twos. Love it. Okay.
So I'm number one, number two, and number seven. That's all that matters.
Yeah. Which one's number seven? What's the...
I think What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, wow. I thought it would be a lot higher up in the
scale of
things.
Nobody wanted to come to you.
Okay.
That's why it's still very scary in New Zealand. People are very scared of those things.
Yeah, probably too close to home, maybe. Living in a flat in Wellington. So can you tell us briefly about what Hunt for the Wilder People is all about? I mean, it's, you know, for those Australians listening.
For those Australians listening, it's about a couple of renegades, a 12-year-old boy and an old man on the run from the law. They're on the run from a crazed social welfare worker who's trying to put them back. Trying to put the little boy back into foster care, and it's a fun on the run adventure with car chases and hunting and guns and crazy characters all through the New Zealand landscape and an amazing soundtrack. Well, I've made this film so it sounds so amazing that even I want to see it now, and I've seen it about 100 times while I was editing it.
Yes, there's also some wild pig action in it. I mean, I'm lucky to have seen it, so. Not for the faint-hearted. I mean, they're full-on sort of action scenes.
Yeah.
Mm. How did you get Sam Neill into the frame of mind of pig wrestling and things like that?
I just told him that he was bordering on becoming irrelevant and that this was his only chance to resurrect his career. So he'd better knuckle down and get wrestling with that pig.
Yes, it's worked really well. And, of course, Anne, it's great to see some of the costumes are pretty amazing. We've got swan dry shirts. I wonder if there's going to be a Hunt for the Wilder People swan dry available as merch.
Yeah, I'd love that to happen. I'd love a petition. If someone like you could start a petition for swan dry, and I'd sign it. And we could get that happening. Because they did give us some clothes. They gave us those jackets for the costumes, and I think they'd be on board.
Yeah, well, I think Foot Rot Flats did something years ago, so This could be it. Right. And what I love about it too is it does remind one of things like Foot Rot Flats. Of course, it's based on the Barry Crump book, and it's got that real New Zealand sensibility. How do you think that's going to translate overseas?
Well, we know how it translates because it's at 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, and all the reviews have been incredibly positive. And it played at Sundance. It's just won three audience awards at the Boston Film Festival, San Francisco Film Festival, and Montclair Film Festival. So the Yanks love it.
I think they will. They'll definitely want to know what Pork Puha is by the end of it, I'd say.
Yeah.
Now, Julian Dennison is just amazing. How did you come across this awesome little bloke?
Just an internet search.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's like typed in amazing kid actors, and then this guy turned up. And I'd actually worked with him on a commercial a few years before, and he was amazing, very professional, cheap, and funny, very funny. And so I thought, I want this kid in my film. I don't know what film, because I didn't have this idea at the time, but I want him in one of my movies. And so when it came to making this film, I didn't audition him. I just gave him the part. I said, are you still a cool kid? On the phone, I said, I called him up and I said, are you still a kid? He said, yep, I'm 12. And I said, you're not lying to me, are you? And he said, no, I swear, I've only aged a year since we last met. And I said, okay, well, that was a year ago, so I'll choose to believe you. And then I sent him the script and I said, are you still Maori? Are you still of Maori descent? Are you still ethnic? And he said, yep. I just looked in the mirror and I'm still brown. And I said, good, that's what I want. So I sent him the script. And he said yes. And then I did the same to Sam Neill. I called him up. I said, Sam, are you still over 60? And he said, yep. And I said, are you still a really good actor like you were in Omen Part 3 back in the 80s? And he said, yes. And I said, okay, I'm choosing to believe you, Sam. I saw you in Peaky Blinders, and I liked your accent. I don't want you to do that, but I want you to be in this movie. Mm. And in the script, and he said, yes. And then all of those two pieces, it was like a jigsaw puzzle with only two pieces. And so those two pieces, they fit together, and then that was the puzzle.
Yeah. I guess then you filled it around with great actors, like personalities like Rima Tiwata, who's just steals it in the first scene.
She does.
She's amazing. I think I saw something of her at the premiere. I think it was the New Zealand red carpet premiere. And she said she hadn't actually seen the whole film all the way through or something. I don't know.
No, I don't. We don't let her see
them. We don't let her see them, right?
No, that's the government thing.
Oh, she is awesome. Yeah. Now, looking at What We Do in the Shadows, and that was a real breakthrough moment, and everything sort of has dominoed, I think, for your career. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
There's going to be a sequel to that, is that right? Are we looking at?
I think so. I mean,
that's what I heard.
What the done and just do like 8 more films based around this whole vampire universe that we've created.
Mm.
I think I think there's a lot of traction there. Because I think the next one we're talking about doing is a werewolf film, following the werewolves around.
Yeah.
And then after that, who knows? You know, maybe we will follow the zombies and documentary on zombies.
Or more soft, maybe a soft core type of following, you know, the sexy vampires.
Oh, the Jermaine, sexy vampires. Yeah,
Jermaine Clements.
Following me.
That's right.
Oh, what?
That's a whole. It's a whole new genre we could build on that.
I see. Are you a Germaniac, are you?
Yeah, I'm. No. We love you the most.
Doesn't sound like it.
One of your things that you do is picky films. How important has that been for you in the last year or two as far as getting more Māori and Pacific Island in film and more of that representation?
I think, mate, that it's bloody great. It's great. For me, it's good to have a thing like Picky because in my opinion, and in many people's opinions, there probably isn't enough focus on Māori and Pacific Island stories. And take it from me. Take it from someone who has the two highest grossing films in the history of New Zealand, box office. Both those films are Māori films. So it's proof in the pudding, my dear.
Yeah.
It's proof that there is an audience and that we do tell great stories. So show, my focus is on fostering that and finding the new voices and fostering them and nurturing them and bring them up and finding out who are the next great storytellers.
Who's the next Taika Waititi?
Oh, well, there will never be another. Never.
For sure.
No.
You can't,
you can't give them impossible dreams. You can't get people up with impossible dreams.
No, you can't build them up and then tear them down. Now, the other one is, I believe you've been tweeting some of these Marvel directors, James Gunn and people like that, for this Thor movie, Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Yes, about explosions. Like, do you know yet how many explosions you're going to try and put into the film?
Well, James Gunn said put in 12.
Yes.
Payson said 42.
42, that's a lot.
I think that's too many.
It's overkill, really.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't listen to those two. I don't know if they've done anything.
They've only done one film, haven't they, each?
Exactly.
There's a lot of talk.
I'm not big on taking advice from people.
Now, I believe that the Thor Ragnarok is considered one of the darker of the four, you know, stories in the comics, the storyline. But you're going to bring that humour into it.
I don't know. I mean, I like to say that, but... Mm. Who knows?
Well, I had a friend who said, no, he can't do it because, look, it'll be too funny. We can't have funny. But I said, you've got to trust.
Who's your...
I won't tell.
I want a name.
Oh.
Who is this? He or she a big Thor fan?
They are. They do say. They claim that they are. But...
They claim they are. But
they take the hammer.
About these inverted commas, Thor fans. They... obviously don't read a lot of the older Thor comics, which are absolutely ridiculous, including the one Thor run where Loki turns Thor into a frog. No one ever talks about how ridiculous that is.
That'll look great.
That's not going to be a movie.
If it explodes, it'll be great.
Don't tell me that Thor is super serious and that kind of stuff. They did that kind of stuff to him, the poor guy.
Well, look, Taika Waititi, thank you so much for speaking to us here on Sci-Fi and Scream. And good luck with Hunt for the Wilder People. Starts May the 26th in Australia and June 24 in the US of A. Awesome work.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Mm.
Hello. Hello. You are listening to Joy FM, providing joy to all of you.
Cool. Thank you. All right, good luck. Good luck with the premiere.
Thank you.
Here. Cheers. Bye bye.
Bye.
Historically, vampires and werewolves have always been rivals. Awful kind of wet fur smell.
Going.
I'm not racist, I just don't like werewolves.
No one likes werewolves. Lots of animals in the animal kingdom don't like werewolves. Wolves don't like werewolves.
Don't swear.
What are we?
Werewolves, not werewolves.
Typical werewolves.
There's a friend day, not soon.
good, Sonia.
Yeah, that was good, Sonia. Yeah, thank you. Well, look, thank you very much. We're going to have to wrap up the show very soon, Dimitri. We're
already?
Just about there.
Oh.
So there it was.
Wasn't he great? Isn't he just funny and serious? He's just gorgeous.
Yeah, he's gorgeous.
I have to stop
gushing.
I have to stop gushing.
You have got the weakness for him, haven't you?
No, not at all.
No, well, look, thank you so much for coming on tonight.
It's a pleasure.
World
of Tiger.
So good
to be here again.
And, of course, Hunt for the World of People is out for Madman. It's a fabulous film. I'll talk more about that at another stage. I'm sure I'll be raving about it forever. It is his fourth feature film. It is number one in New Zealand. His other feature film, Boy, is number two. And as he was saying, number seven is What We Do in the Shadows, the vampire mockumentary, which we love as well.
Is he still directing one of the Thor movies?
He is. He's doing Thor Ragnarok. You should have been listening to the interview.
You were talking to me.
Sorry, yeah, I was talking over the top of you. And yes, so for the man from Rokokori, East Coast, the East Cape of New Zealand, of the North Island, pretty amazing that this guy has just blossomed. But there's a whole generation of them. It's him, of course, Jermaine Clement, Brett McKenzie, of course, Reese Evans, what's his name? You know, the funny one.
Yes.
From
Flight of the Conchords.
Yes.
And he was in an episode of The X-Files, the new season.
Oh, was he? I missed that.
In the second episode of the new season of X-Files.
Well, he's also...
he plays a were-lizard.
A were-what?
Were-lizard. Seriously, he's
really?
Hilarious.
Oh, my God.
He's actually hilarious.
He is, yeah, he's a very talented, wonderful Kiwi. And he's also in The World of People, the surprise little cameo. There's a few little lovely little cameos in the film, so I do recommend it if you get a chance. And Julian Dennison is a remarkable young child, you know, just who's in The World of People. And of course our favorite, Rima Tiwiato. Have you seen Housebound there, Dimitri?
I sure have. And now, what is the name of the mother in that, Sonia?
I already said it. Rima Tiwiato.
Isn't she just great?
Yes.
Doesn't she just steal the show? And she is in The World of People, isn't
she? Yeah, she's in The World of People too. There's some great little moments in that film. It just makes you feel all sort of, you know, squidgy inside, if that's a word.
What, Housebound or World of People?
All of them. They're all very good.
Housebound. Anyone who hasn't seen Housebound, see it just for the mother. She, every minute she's on, you just sit there riveted to the screen going, who is that woman?
Who is that woman?
She is brilliant. The comic timing, really. She and Taika should do a scene together. Don't you think? Two faces, two comics, talking to me. I think they'd be great.
I think you've got something there. Well, we have to depart because Colin is up next with Behind the Curtain. It all ends now, really. A stake through my heart. But, you know, not a stake on the grill, but a stake through my heart.
Kiss of the vampire, darling.
I know. You'll have to come back on next time.
Oh, I'd love to.
And talk something apart from Taika.
Can we talk about Divine next time?
Who?
Divine. She's my other hero.
Maybe. Maybe we should. It's been a while since we talked about Divine.
Oh,
that would be
Divine.
A good idea.
Dear Divine.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, have a pleasant evening. And as they say, mā te wai kia pai te pō marae. So that means good night.
Same to you.
Safe travels. Thank you. We will podcast this later in the week with more Taika goodness. And the full interview will come soon as well. Up next, Colin, like I said, with Behind the Curtain. Stay with us here on Joy. On Joy 94.9. Good night.
Questions to make anyone fall in love. So.
I'm too nervous about doing this with you. I don't want to fall in love.
Well, I mean, it happens to people.
I fall in love with you.
That's sometimes.
Hey, Jim, given the choice of anyone in the world, whom would you want as a dinner guest?
Well, even better. Talking about someone you can bring back, Jesus.
I'd ask him
things like, did you really say all those nice things? Who do you think is your dad? Is he really your dad? What would constitute a perfect day for you?
Actually, a perfect day would just be sleeping all day. The day just to pass completely by.
Well, that's more like night time.
When did you last sing to yourself or to someone else?
I sing to myself most days. Hey, you there with the sad face.
Come back to my place.
Oh, I think I'm falling in love with you from based on these
arts. Already up to number five. This experiment works. Name three things you and your partner appear to have in common.
We're biracial.
We're alive.
We're alive.
We wear clothes.
We wear clothes and we're biracial.
We're biracial.
If you could change anything about the way you were raised, what would it be to have two parents?
Yeah. Nobody's parents were together, and we used to make fun of kids whose parents were still together.
What did you call them? Your parents are
rich kids. You gotta go get a cuddle from your mum and your dad, are you?
Double cuddles.
If you could wake up tomorrow having gained any one quality or ability, what would it be?
I know what yours would be. Laser eyes. Mine would be flight, but without getting cold, because I'm worried about the altitude.
Worried about getting sick again.
Yeah. What is the greatest accomplishment of your life?
Making it here on time. Alternate sharing something you consider a positive characteristic of your partner.
Good hair.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know that one meant a lot to you. Okay. Yeah, can you think of one for me?
If you were going to become a close friend with your partner, let's see if that happens. Please share what would be important for him or her to know.
We're going to become...
I have laser eyes.
You do?
It's important you know that. Share with your partner an embarrassing moment in your life. I was doing life modelling at the fashion school. And it was just all girls, really, just drawing pictures of nude dudes. And
you were the dude.
And I was the dude just one day, and I fainted. And I passed out on stage. And fell off the stage and crushed an easel.
It doesn't sound too embarrassing.
I was naked. Share a personal problem and ask your partner's advice on how he or she might handle it. I don't like sitting on public toilet seats.
Okay.
That's a big problem for me.
Well,
I'm too scared that my penis will touch the inside rim of the toilet.
I remember all my life raining down as cold as ice. Shadows of the man, her face through a window, crying in the night. And night goes into morning, just another day. Happy people pass my way. Looking in their eyes, I see a memory.
So what inspired you to, you know, do these films? Because to a lot of people, I think I saw in news.com.au, they said these are very light-hearted Kiwi films, and you've said that yourself in comparison to something like a Jane Campion or the more Vincent Ward type of dark sort of stuff.
Well, I think New Zealand does that very well, and that's what we're known for is, you know, our dark cinema, but I think it's also okay for us to not do that and to not be boxed in by making bleak films and, you know,
it's not all
having
about
some fun. Yeah. Yeah.
As far as you being Māori and of Māori culture descent and everything, how do you think that's affected your, how does that influence your work?
Well, sometimes I try not to let it influence the work just because it's all, you know, it's intrinsically there and I can't get rid of it. And so it's just all, you know, it's somehow going to work its way into everything I do. And I think that's fine, you know. I try not to make everything obviously have a Māori skew or something. It's and even with the vampire film, there's like, you couldn't really say that there's anything Māori in this film.
No, not with those accents.
Definitely not with those accents. But the film, you know, Jermaine and I are both Māori, and so, you know, again, yeah, it's like, you know, why be boxed in by, you know, conventions of like, oh, you have to just make Māori stuff and just put, you know, it's just keep making Whale Rider and Boy again and again.
Oh, that'd be interesting. Boy meets Whale Rider, or...
Oh, right, yeah.
The
romance,
musical.
A romance between boy and the girl from Whale Rider.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone did email me wanting to make a boy into a musical. I couldn't think of anything worse.
Well, you did the, what was it, 3 minute, you know, Poirier meets Michael Jackson bit.
Yeah, that was enough. That was enough.
That's enough music for now.
I'm thinking about doing a sequel to Boy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Set in the 90s.
Right, of course.
Because we haven't really done the 90s in cinema.
And the 90s is now. The 90s.
Not since the 90s.
You've been listening to a podcast of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Check out joy.org.au/sci-fi and scream for more.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.